What's up, Calvin Nation? I'm here, as always, to help you thrive as an entrepreneur. I want to see you thrive in all areas of life, not just your business, because who cares if you have the most successful business in the world, if you're not happy, if you're not fulfilled, if your health is not good, if you're not full of physical vitality, if your marriage stinks, if your relationship with your kids stinks. So we want you to have a successful life, 360 all around. That's what this is all about. And today, I want to talk about marriages, relationships. It's really a pattern in a lot of relationships, but especially in love relationships, so your most important relationship in your life. And this came up the other day because, it's come up because it's something that's been on my mind lately, and I've spoken with a bunch of entrepreneurs and other people, and everybody has this. Everybody's struggling with this. And it's very simple when you understand how it really works. So in terms of love, when we fall in love, there's two things that have to be true. Balloons. Balloons have to be true. All right. Yeah. I think there's a setting here, reactions. All right. Turn that off. What about the portrait and studio light? There we go. Nice. Look at that. Look at that. Like, it's weird. Look at where behind my hand. Like, it gets confused about the jackets over there. All right. So anyway, leaving that aside, I'm going to turn that off. It's a little weird. Here we go. So actually, maybe it's better actually. All right, here we go. So whenever you fall in love, two things have to be true. Number one, the other part represents some aspect of your own personality that you have shut down, or that you're not allowing yourself to be, but that you long for. So some part of you that you early on decided to kind of disavow, like abandon, shut down inside of yourself, and now you long for that part. And so the other partner, the person that you fall in love with, represents that for you. And you're like, oh, it's like the redeeming aspect. It's like, oh, I feel whole and I feel complete with this person. You can kind of loan that from them, and it makes you feel whole and complete. That's why we say, like, hey, you complete me, all of that stuff, right? But there is a second part that also has to be there in order for us to fall in love, and that's the sort of the danger aspect, right? It's like one is the bliss and the other is the danger aspect, and that is that the other person represents some aspect of the person who hurt you the most as a kid. So of your parents, you know, your caretakers, whoever they were, there was some aspect of them that felt like a villain or a perpetrator, and that caused you to shut down that side of yourself and other sides of yourself. So because and what happened over time is that as a kid, you kept getting hit by that thing, that part of them, and you ended up internalizing it. So you now have that inner critic, that inner voice. Well, the person that you fall in love with has that aspect to them. They have to have these two aspects, right? Number one, so the redeeming aspect, the thing that we long for, that they represent that side that we shut down, but they also represent that side that caused us to shut down in some way, right? So they remind us of the villain, the violator, the perpetrator. And so what that means is that initially it's like, oh, it's great, you're whole and complete, and you feel like the other person completes you and all of that stuff. But over time, that kind of wears off a little bit, and then that the villain aspect comes into the foreground. And that's why you have this honeymoon, that lasts maybe 6 months, maybe a year, something like that, typically, right? That honeymoon phase where you're just madly in love. And then it changes, right? And then it's that villain thing that comes more at the fore. And then the problems start. And then you're the bickering and the, like, you remind me of my mom, or like, you remind me of my dad, right? Like all of that stuff. Well, that's because, this is why, right? There has to be that danger element of like, I'm scared, like that's, for us to fall in love, not just the positive, but over time it turns into like a like violating of your deepest traumatic wounds. Tough luck. But this is how it works. And so that's why if you don't work through this in your relationship, you're going to find someone else that's going to have the same essential pattern. That's why people fall in love with the same kind of person over and over again, right? Because, and maybe it's like God's little trick that he plays on us, is like, we need to heal this, and is the invitation to heal it. And he makes it really attractive by making us fall in love and having all these amazing feelings. But the job that we need to do is we need to heal this in ourselves. So what we need to do is, what you need to do is, you need to own that part of you that you see in the other, in your lover, right? That a redeeming aspect that you loved about them, you need to realize that that's something that it already exists within you. You have this. You've just disowned it. You've just made it wrong. You've repressed it. You've decided that you didn't want to be that because it wasn't okay for some reason. And so you want to now bring that back into the wholeness of your being. Right? The game of life is really that we can be everything. We can be everything. We can be with every part of ourselves. We can be with all of the feelings of life, like from the joyous to joy, to the saddest sad, to the angriest anger, right? That we can be with all of the feelings of life, and that we can be with all of the aspects of who we are. That's how we become free and whole and complete. And the lie is that we think that we need someone else to make us complete. We don't. The lie is that we think that this, we can actually loan that from other people. We can't, right? We can for a minute, but it doesn't last, it doesn't work, and it's not what's good for us. So you need to own that piece that you see in the other person. And this goes beyond marriages and intimate relationships in that way. That goes with like your celebrities, with your hero entrepreneurs, with your like Steve Jobs. I remember doing this exercise. So there's a common psychological phenomenon called projection, which you may have heard of. Some people call it like the shadow, Jungian shadow. So these are projections when you have disowned a part of yourself and then you see it in other people. And it can be negative or positive, right? So when you get really like, oh, he's a liar, that's when you get really upset about someone doing something bad. They're liars, they're blah. That's when you are really lying. You are a liar. But you can't own that. You can't be with it. And so then you have to like see it out there and then get angry about it out there, not realizing that you have that inside because you've pushed it so far out of your mind you don't even realize that you do it. Whenever you have an emotional reaction to something that someone else does, it's because it's triggering that projection effect that says you have that inside of you, but it's repressed. Like you are the same. And again, the job is that we can be with everything that life offers, every emotion, every aspect. We can be liars. We can be murderers. Like, I killed a fucking fly the other day. Like, that's how bad of a person I am. And there's a spider. I killed that. I'm a murderer. And I can be okay with that. All right? I've yet to murder a human being, and I don't plan to. So, but we can be with all of the aspects of everything that it means to be human, all the feelings, all the things. Doesn't have to mean that we have to act on it, but it means that doesn't have to be scared of like, oh no, I can't be like. But there's also a positive projection, right? So I used to look at Steve Jobs and be like, he has power and vision and I love that about him. And then realizing that the reason that I'm attracted to those aspects of him is because I have those in me. Those are facts about me, but it's much more comfortable because I had disowned my power a lot, and I disowned my visionariness as well. And so it's safer and more comfortable to project it onto him and be like, oh, he's amazing, but I'm not. Right? So we do it with our mentors, with our coaches, with our online people that we follow, right? Like a lot of what happens online, you follow people online, it's allowing people to live vicariously through some other person, right? So they'll be following Andrew Tate and be like, yeah, Andrew Tate. And not realizing that those things that they see and admire in Andrew Tate are things that they have in themselves. And the more that you like if you're not intentionally using it to draw that out of you, but you're using watching Andrew Tate to like soothe the feeling of that desire, the longing for it, and like then you watch it and you're like, ah, now I feel good, yay, right? But if you, then it's not good. But if you use it actively, like he has that, I know I'm attracted to it because I have that. Let me develop that in me. Like, how have I shut it down? What do I need to do to bring it into my life? If you use it that way, it's amazing. Right? And similarly, the people who get upset about Andrew Tate is like, oh, he's a misogynist, like terrible. Like all the things that you get so angry about in him, you have inside of you. And the more that you can, like, unless you can own that, you are just like, you're pissing away energy on like garbage stuff online and not actually becoming a full and complete person yourself. So notice, like, whenever you get pissed off about shit that you see out there, it's a gift that tells you that here's something that you have disowned in you and that you need to own in order for you to become whole and complete. It doesn't mean that you have to act this way, but you have to recognize that this is within you, and the anger and the upset and the reaction that you have, the emotional reaction that you have, is only because you have that in you and it's disowned and it's creating an inner split. All right. So back to marriages. So same thing. What you need to do in your marriage or your intimate relationship in order to heal this is you need to recognize that the positive aspect you own, you have inside of you, and you need to develop that so that you can become whole and complete in yourself. And the critic, the villain, the violator, the perpetrator, that part is the reason you get upset at the other person, at your partner, over this. You're like, oh, she's always like nagging, like my mom used to do, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's because you have that inner critic in your mind. The only reason that you get upset about it is because it reminds you, it hits that spot in your mind that is critical towards you. It's only the only reason it hits, it hurts, is because you agree with it. Right? It's because you agree with what they're saying. That voice inside, that part of you agrees with it. Not you as your higher self, but that part of you that's the inner critic, the internalized version of your mom or dad or whatever it was, agrees with them. And that's why it hurts. And so what you need to do there is take ownership of that and resolve that inner critic. You need to learn to love yourself. You need to learn to love the part of you that you've criticized, right? And you need to love the part of you that got so good at criticizing yourself in order to survive, right? It helped you survive back then, and now it's like a split part of you, right? So you have the inner child that was like smacked, like, you're wrong, like that kid needs some love, right? That kid needs some love. And then you have that part of you that learned to like smack you, and that part was just doing their best to survive given the circumstances, and that part needs some love as well, but it also needs some boundaries saying, hey, no more criticizing. Like, instead of criticizing this other part of me, how about you just lay down the weapon and then feel your fear and your pain that caused you to start criticizing us, ourselves, right? So we have like these multiple personalities inside. It's really fascinating. And all it needs is just awareness and love. Awareness and love. Awareness and love. Reminds me of like back when I learned to love myself. One of the things, I was just taking a nap and I couldn't sleep last night. And so after Popeye this morning, I was like, let me see if I can take a nap. I couldn't sleep. But what I like to do when I'm sleeping or trying to fall asleep and is have this, just keep saying to myself, I love myself unconditionally. I love myself unconditionally. And I've gotten pretty comfortable with the idea and the feeling of loving myself. But it wasn't always this way. I used to be like it was like anathema. It was like, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. It was like, if I let love enter this heart of mine, this being of mine, then I will never do the things that I need to do in order to be lovable. And so I need to key that shit out because it's dangerous. And it's kind of a weird, it's a weird ass thing too. Like, it's a weird mechanism. It doesn't logically make sense. Well, like, if like love is there right now and I could just let it in, I could just feel loved. Like, but no, no, no. Because I have to make myself worthy of love. And in order to do that, I need to keep love out. Because it's like, it's bizarro. But one of the things that really, really helped me with that was Gay Hendrix. He has a book called Learning to Love Yourself or something to that effect. And it was like his first breakthrough book. And he's written tons of books since. And it was, it's a fantastic. And the core, I highly recommend, get a copy, read it over and over again. But the core that I took from that book was learning to love yourself is really about stopping the habit or just interrupting the habit of not loving yourself long enough for love to happen. Here's what I mean by that. Love is the natural state. Not love is the learned behavior. We're actually spending energy not loving ourselves. You're spending exerting effort unconsciously, but it's still effort and energy not loving yourself. Energy actually hating yourself, criticizing yourself, making yourself wrong, making yourself not good enough. That's energy that you're using. And so if you try to fight that with like, I love myself, but there's like that subconscious part of you that is very committed to hating yourself, that's not going to work. Like that, the subconscious part is always going to win every single time. So what we need to do is we need to get awareness. And then we need to create a little bit of a gap. And so what Gay teaches is instead of like trying to love yourself, just try to cultivate a willingness to love yourself. Cultivate the willingness to love yourself. And the way that I experienced that was, yeah, I can be willing to love myself. That's an easier step. It was a smaller step, a smaller commitment, and I could get on board with that. And then once I sat in the willingness to love myself, love naturally entered. Because love is the natural state. It's like you create like it's like you have a bottle, you pierce a hole in the thing, and then like water starts dripping out because that's what water does. Love is like air, like water. It's everywhere. So when you create a vacuum, it's going to be filled with love because love is the nature of things. I love the way I think of things. I got this from Gandhi. His autobiography, I think it's Experiments in Truth or something like that. I never actually read the whole thing. Maybe I should one day. But in the very beginning, I remember reading the sentence that said, love, truth, and God are all synonyms. And it's really stayed with me since. I think that's exactly right. Love, truth, God are all synonyms. And I think you could add a bunch more to that list. But they're all the same thing. And I really genuinely believe that love, God, truth is that energy that binds everything together. It's the energy that like gravity like draws element particles together, you know, electrons, protons, like all of that. Like it's all love, God, that energy. And so it's literally everywhere. It's literally the nature of the universe. But we have the capability with our thoughts, which then grow in and become subconscious patterns and thoughts, right? We have the ability with our thoughts to shape reality, literally. We have the ability with our thoughts to shape reality. And so over time, we start to have these thought patterns as like, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm wrong. And that becomes reality, and then that becomes like our life experiences, our health, our bodies. Yesterday I did a video about health, and this is it, right? this is it. If you have negative thoughts, you're creating this like dense, low vibrating energy field around you. And then you have disease that take hold because it's a response to that lower energy vibration. So clearing, like learning to love yourself, raising that vibration level, that which happens naturally when you start loving. And a huge part of this too is like these things get lodged in our bodies as trauma, which is why I'm so passionate about body SDS, this Danish body therapy system. I'm here in Copenhagen right now, and I have had 6 and 8 hours so far, and I'm doing another 3 hours on Thursday, so that'll be like 11 hours of this stuff on this trip. I've had other trips where I did like 20 hours in a week's span, but I feel like I'm in a really good spot now, and like 11 is great for what I need right now. But what they do with body SDS is they work through the body and like that tension that sits in your muscles and you know, restricts your joints and restricts the energy flow, and then they'll like work on the muscle, and then you get to feel those stuck feelings and express them and get them out. So oftentimes for me, there'll be a lot of crying. The other day on Saturday, I was just like, rah! Like so much anger and like, rah! Fire energy, lion mode, right? I've done the videos about lion mode activated. And it's fucking amazing, right? Like really, really getting access to all of those feelings. And the trauma, for me, I had a lot of trauma around my power. I feel like, and I have no idea if this happened, and I love my dad to death. He's amazing. But I had the feeling, I've had these like visions of like kind of like a power struggle with my dad from I was an infant, from like 6 months, a year old, where very early on I learned like don't try to fight back, because he's going to just like come back twice as hard. And then got really scared of my dad's power. And so I've had a lot of like, it's very hard for me to set boundaries, and like very hard for me to relate to my anger. If you don't have a healthy relationship with your anger, you can't set boundaries. And like, this is a whole other conversation that we're going to have one of these days, because anger is one of the most amazing, amazing emotions. And we're culturally in the Western world, we're terrified of anger, and there's no need to be. I get why we are. Because there's a lot of suppressed anger, and that comes out in like rage and fit and wow, like, but anger is one of the most amazing feelings that we want to have a natural, easy access to. So anyway, point being here, back to the relationship, that you need to own that part of you that you see in the other person that attracted you, and you need to own that person, that critic that you see in the other person is actually your own critic. And you need to resolve the relationship with that, right? What ends up very often happening is that like one of the parties or both partners end up walking on eggshells because they're so afraid of like triggering that trauma, that inner critic. And we don't want to be that. But what we do want as partners is to recognize it and see that it's happening. And so when you are triggering the other person's inner critic, you can have compassion for that. Right, you can empathize. You don't have to like, because what happens is you trigger their inner critic, and then like they might lash back at you, and then you're like, you can't lash back at me. Like then you can like you just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But once you start to see the pattern and you recognize, oh, this is what's going on, then have compassion for the other person and know that it's hard, but also demand of them that they work through it. Right, that they own their part. And that is something that they want to work through the trauma. It might take a while. And the key thing here is that it just understanding it mentally is not enough. It's really, really helpful to understand it mentally, because that gives you a roadmap. You know what to do. But it's the emotional healing that actually transforms it. Without that, it's not gonna do anything. So you have to like feel, journal. Like I love to do exercise, movements in different ways that trigger different feelings. Because again, when you move your body in new ways, then it's going to trigger different like emotional experiences. Breath is incredible. Again, body SDS is amazing. Like, whatever tools you use for your emotional healing, like, bring that on and maybe learn some new ones and go to some workshops or whatever. But, like, make it a mission to work through this in your life and support your partner in working through this as well. That is how you create a successful relationship. And even if you're like, I don't know that we're really the right people for each other, which you fucking are. I mean, probably. But even if you're not, what you can do is you can decide to become allies in this healing process, right? So, like, just commit to supporting each other in going through this healing. And then once you're both healed and whole and complete and you don't get triggered by each other and you can own your positive sides that you used to kind of loan from your partner, then you can see if you still want to be together. Chances are you probably do. But then you can decide. But if you don't take this opportunity right now to help each other heal, then you're both just going to run into the same shit with another person. Only it's going to take you, you're going to be like a year, 2 years down the line, right? It's like all the pain of divorce and separating and all that shit. It's expensive. It's costly. It's emotionally draining. Like, if you have kids, like, it's traumatic, right? In so many levels. And you'll never get that back, right? You will never, once you go down that path, you can't really come back. It's very rare. So, and then, like, you'll be single, and, like, if you have kids, and it's like really tough, right? You're still tied to this other person, and you have the kids, all this stuff. And then, like, try to go find a new partner, and then you fall in love, and, like it might take you 6 months, a year to find that partner, maybe longer, right? And then you fall in love, and the first 6 months to a year, just amazing. And so now we're talking, like, 2 years, and then you have to start, at least, right? And then you have to start doing the same fucking work again. So, you know, might as well just do it with this person and just commit to the journey and, like, really work through all of those traumas. Because there's, you know, there's a reason you fell in love with each other. It's because you're compatible in your traumas. And so, like, just take that opportunity, fix it, like, heal it, right? It's not rocket science. Like, these things are people who know how to heal that kind of stuff. So you just, like, get all the help that you need. But make sure that you commit to the healing for you, right? You have to own the process. You can't outsource it. It's your process to do the healing. And then once you've done that and you no longer get triggered by your partner and you feel whole and complete in yourself, then you can see what you guys want to do as a couple. Yeah. All right. That is the path to having an amazing, relationship. That's the path to healing from your core wounds, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful process. And most people don't know about this at all, and it's, or if they do, they don't actually do the work. And again, mentally, it's not enough just mentally. You have to do the emotional healing work. But once you do, man, oh man, it's a beautiful thing. It's the most beautiful thing that life has to offer. So, yep, go do that. And there's so many entrepreneurs, and the reason I'm passionate about this is, like, this is universally human, and there's so many extremely successful entrepreneurs who never master this. Like, Hearst, you know, the newspaper magnate, like, super incredibly wealthy, like, created Hearst Castle out of the West Coast. Pretty sure it's him who said, he was like, he had 4 marriages. He said he would give all his money away for one successful marriage. All his money for one successful marriage. Look at Elon Musk. Like, how many relationships has he been in? How many kids with different women, right? Because he's never dealt with this. So you can be the richest person in the world. Like, Bezos just, you know, got divorced some years ago and married, you know, another woman. Like, you can be the most, and it's not that divorce is always wrong. Like if you need a divorce, get a divorce. But if you don't work through this, you're really missing out on the beautiful thing about life, and you can have all the money in the world and it doesn't mean a thing, because what really matters is the inside and the connection and the intimacy that you get to experience when you do this. All right, that's my message for you today. Love you so much. I'm here to support you on your journey to becoming a whole and complete person, not just someone who's good at business and then, like, nothing else. And really, this kind of work, this shit, is the key to also the business side of things, because it just makes you a better, like, makes you a whole person, and that makes you a much more inspiring, effective leader, and much more effective in everything that you do. So go do your work. Love you. See you soon.